2 months ago, I had a phone call from Tom, which started with the words, just want to ask you something, feel free to say no. And for those staff members who know this conversation, your heart stops and you sort of think, right, okay, what, Lord, what's he going to ask me this time? And he asked if I would preach. And so I said, you know what, I'll give it a go, but go easy on me. Find a passage, you know, that isn't too intense or heavy. And he made a joke about Leviticus. And then said, no, but no, don't worry about it. It's all good. And then the rotor came through, and I glanced down at my name and glanced across at the Bible passage, and he's given me the Passover. So, you know, no big deal. Just like the most important moment and ritual, defining moment and ritual in their Jewish self-identity. No biggie. But however, as Tom would also say, the Lord reigns. And I believe the Lord has a word he wants me to share with you today. So I'm going to start with a question. Do you ever find it easy to forget who God is and what he's done for you, particularly in the hard times? I know for me, particularly in the last year or so, this has been a challenge at times. And I just really felt like the Lord wanted to say today to talk about his faithfulness and remembering his faithfulness. So we're going to start with our passage. I'm going to read it out. That's Exodus 12, 21 to 28. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the doorframe. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So last week, Tom talked about a bit about Moses' insecurity and his faltering lips, and that we also looked at how embracing our human weakness, we see God's power displayed. And then between then and now, there's been 9 plagues. Pharaoh has yielded a couple of times, but then changed his mind again. So we're dealing with one very stubborn man. And now we're on the 10th and final plague, and this is the Passover, and this is a big deal. In chapters 11 and 13, you'll find that this is sandwiched in with, it's all about the plague, basically. What God's going to do, preparing the people, giving this instruction. The destroyer then comes in chapter 13, kills the firstborn Egyptians. Pharaoh finally releases the Israelites. And finally, after over 400 years, they are free. Now, before I go any further, I just want to acknowledge that there is some really tough stuff going on in this passage today. Again, thank you, Tom. You might be asking the question, I know in Cell earlier this week this question was asked, why would God kill Egyptian firstborn and children? Now, I'm not going to go into that today, but while there's been many, many, many debates about this and many books written, ultimately, I don't know. But I wrestle with it, and I will probably continue to do so in my faith journey. And that's not a bad thing. So I just want to encourage you to do the same. Pray about it, talk to people about it, and wrestle with God about it. And though I'm not addressing that particular question today, one thing I will say that this doesn't change the Father that we know and love and have a relationship with today. He is the same God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I think the thing that stood out to me most when I was looking at this passage and preparing for today were verses 24 to 27, where there seemed to be a sudden interruption in the narrative. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. He goes on to talk about the conversations that the Israelites are to have with their children about this Passover, this, you know, big, big deal. And actually, we see throughout chapters 11 and 13, the narrative is broken up several times with the same instructions to observe the Passover in future generations. So we see that this is actually so much more than just a plague, a one-time thing to release the Egyptians. But it's actually a symbol of a new covenant with Yahweh and his people. And it's one moment in history that will be remembered forever. It's something that they're going to pass on to their children, to future generations, remembering what God did, setting them free, remembering who he is and therefore who they are. The Passover reminds the Israelites, when they celebrate it, what God has done and what he continues to do, so there's a future orientation to it. God is saying, remember my faithfulness, remember my covenant with you, my people. Remember I'm the God who saves. This is who I am, and I will do it again. I am, and I will. And so by partaking in the Passover meal, the Israelites were symbolically experiencing the Exodus for themselves. They were living out their identity as a saved people. By remembering who he is and what he did for them, they're remembering who they are. Furthermore, when you look at the rest of the Old Testament, we see that God repeats time and time and time again that I am the Lord your God who delivered you from out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He reminds them again and again of his faithfulness. That's throughout the wilderness time, in the coming chapters of Exodus, when they begin to enter the promised land, when they're in exile, when they're in battle, through the prophets, he's saying, remember my faithfulness. Remember, I'm a God who rescues, a God who frees. And also we see throughout Exodus so far that he has constantly been reminding the Israelites with using the phrase so that they will know I am the Lord, so that you will know I am the Lord. This is about God being known for who he is and his people not forgetting that. I think what's most significant, though, for me about these verses is that God tells the Israelites that they will remember this moment, this Passover, for future generations before it even takes place. And so, again, it's not just a one-time plague. This is God saying that this event will have reverberations throughout their history, which we know ended with Jesus. And so Jesus transformed the Passover. The Gospels record that Jesus' death happens over Passover, around that time, when the Israelites were celebrating the Passover. And Jesus created a new and everlasting covenant. He became the Passover lamb for all mankind, for you and for me. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:19, says that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. His blood was spilt for us, so that we could be spared from the destroyer, so that we could be set free from the slavery of sin, so that we would be free to run into our Father's arms, to have a close and intimate relationship with him. Jesus' sacrifice, his death and resurrection, was and is the peak of God's redemptive plan. It was what Yahweh had in his mind's eye when he was setting the Israelites free from the Egyptians. And so in the same way he transforms the Passover event itself, he also transforms the meal. And we see him transform the Passover meal into the Last Supper. In Luke 22, Jesus takes the bread and wine and he says, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." He's saying, remember what I did for you. Remember my faithfulness. Remember I'm the God who saves. what's repeated becomes familiar. And we see that throughout the Jewish tradition, repetition is a key for them in remembering their identity in God. And in the same way that Israelites and Jews today will celebrate the Passover, we repeat communion to remember what Jesus did for us. We sing songs of worship to remember what he did for us. We read his words to remember what he did for us. And therefore, what that means for us. It means freedom. It means no more guilt, no more shame. It means we're forgiven and we are his children. We remember God's faithfulness to us through the cross, and that act becomes the defining moment for us in our identity too. So what does it look like for us to regularly stop and remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, particularly in those tough seasons of life? As I've already mentioned, I'm not always very good at this. And I'm going to mention a few things that I found helpful and give maybe an example of a particularly tough time. But what I would love you to do, well, as I'm saying this, is you will have a lot of wisdom as well. So please put in the comments things that you found really helpful in those difficult times to help you remember God's faithfulness and who he is. So this time last year, we were in a pretty tough place. We discovered that Leonie, my lovely one-year-old, that she was breech. So our plans had all changed in terms of birth. We had a C-section. The day after she was born, we discovered her hips. She had hips dysplasia, so her hips were dislocated. So then there was a whole series of appointments to do with harnesses and scans, and then lockdown made that even more complicated. And she was also just happened to be one of those babies who was just a very unsettled baby for the first however many months of her life, probably the first 5 months of her life. And she didn't sleep very well at all, very unsettled. And there were days where I realized that I'd been carrying her in some sort of capacity for about 20 hours of the day. And the only, those 4 hours that I had spare were when Andrew dropped doing everything else around the house to hold her for a bit in the evening while I could just get a bit of shut eye. On top of that, so we had the sleep deprivation, my hormones were all over the place after the birth. And then there was this fear of COVID. Everyone was talking about it, and it felt like it was coming, and we were going to get it. And it just felt overwhelming. And yeah, this began to have a real effect on my mental health. I was really, really anxious all the time. I was low. I was crying a lot. And poor Anya, she was only just over two at the time. She was really struggling too, because suddenly the sister's born and her world stops. And my mummy can't do anything. She can't hug her. She can't lift her. She can't do anything she used to do because of my surgery. And then Andrew, who deserves a medal, had to do everything. So this man is amazing. He had to do all the housework, look after Anya, look after me so I could look after Leonie, and then holding Leonie when I wasn't. And yeah, it was tough. And then when lockdown came in, we had no support. Like so many mothers have had no support at all during the pandemic. And that was really, really tough. And it was a strain on our marriage. And yeah, a really, really tough time. But what really helped me were a couple of things in particular. I remember at one point I didn't know if I was coming or going. And a really good friend of mine suggested that we write down some Bible passages about who God is and his faithfulness and to put them on the walls of our house. And though I didn't necessarily feel any different when I was reading them, it really helped me just to focus back and declare who God was over my situation and to remind me that he's done it before and he'll do it again. He is faithful. And another thing I think that was really helpful was our community, our friends, our family, our group of six or cell group at the time. They were brilliant at pointing us back to Jesus, at reminding us of God's faithfulness and also being his faithfulness. They'd be praying over the phone for us. They'd be providing meals. We got flowers delivered to the doorstep. People sent brownies in the post. Amazing. You need as much sugar as possible when you're sleep deprived. And that was amazing. That really, really helped us stay afloat to focus on God and who he was and his faithfulness. Then more recently, things aren't as tough as they were for us, which, praise God, thank you, Jesus. But obviously, for all of us, things aren't easy. And it's a difficult season. And I've found a couple of things really helpful. The Bible in 1 year project's been really good. Now, when I looked at it initially, I was like, there's no way I can read all of this and have the kids and do everything else. So I'm actually doing the express version, which I'm finding really helpful. And if I can make myself get up before the kids, that is like some really precious time in the day just to remind myself of who God is and his faithfulness in my life. I also have discovered that prayer walking has been really helpful. Being out in nature, as I pray or as I see God's nature, just being able to remind myself of his vastness, of how, that he created the universe and he's got this. He's got this situation that we're all in. Even if it's sometimes it's just been to the local park because of restrictions. And finally, worship music has been really, really helpful. I found worship music, even if I'm not singing along to it, just listening to it and letting it wash over me has been brilliant. Really, really helpful. So I'm just going to call the worship team back up now as sort of we look a bit about a response. As I was praying and preparing today, I sensed there were perhaps two groups of people who the Lord wanted to really speak to. So first group, in this season of COVID and lockdown, have you found that you've fallen away a little bit? Has your relationship with the Lord fallen by the wayside? Are you just trying to wait it out? If you, like an ostrich, you've got your head in the sand. Are you seeking out and relying on those daily comforts just to get by? I know me and Andrew went through like a serial, like Netflix and chill season, which we got a little bit unhealthy. Are you holding out hope that the vaccination is going to solve everything? But in reality, are you avoiding and forgetting God? Are you forgetting his sovereignty and his love for you? Have you forgotten your identity in him and where he is calling you to join in with what he is doing in the present? And you never know, you may play even the smallest part in someone else's salvation story right now. People, there is such a need. And as for the second group, I just sense that some of us here are going through a really dark time, that so much has happened. You're in a lot of pain. There'll be some grieving. There are some who are finding today, in particular Mothering Sunday, really tough. And I just sense the Father is saying to cry out to him, sit with him, allow him to bring those testimonies of his faithfulness in the past back to your mind, and use this season of Lent to read his word and remember what he did for us on the cross, and just run to him. Allow the Father to embrace you again. And finally, for both groups, for all of us, let's be using our community that God has placed around us. Share your burdens, pray and encourage one another, and remind each other of God's faithfulness and who we are. As I was writing this, I couldn't get the phrase "remember who you are" from The Lion King out of my mind. And there's a scene where Mufasa, Simba's dad, appears to him in the clouds. And at this point, Simba has run away from his home. He's run away from his identity. He's run away from his identity, and therefore his calling. And he's also carrying a lot of pain after not only losing his dad, but believing his death was his fault. He's got a lot of guilt and shame there. And he's trying to forget the past and escape the reality of who his father is and therefore who he is. So in this scene, I'm just going to read out the conversation that happens. Mufasa says, "Simba, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life." Simba replies, "How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be." And Mufasa says, "Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king." And then he just repeats it again and again. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. So Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness, that you are a God who is faithful, who is good, who is just. You're the God who embraces and loves us. And Lord, wherever we're at, whether in a really good place with you, whether, Lord, we've been avoiding you and distracting ourselves from the reality of life at the moment, Lord, whether we've been in actually a load, we're in a lot of pain at the moment. Lord Jesus, we choose today to remember your faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you that as we step into your presence, as we receive your embrace, Father, and we remember who you are and your faithfulness to us, you remind us of who we are, of who you created us to be, and your call on our lives. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.